Talking about here on America Tonight, and of course the nation is talking about that. Everybody is in all the nooks and crannies. You can throw in your two cents on what you think the president should do, what your move would be, that kind of thing at 855-266-5283 throughout America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. But we always kick things off with our pals from Talk Radio News, Jeff Holtzman in the wings. Well, you heard what I said. Certainly we could start with John Kerry, the Secretary of State. He was laying out his case, or the rationale, I guess I should say, for an attack on Syria. Flush that out a little bit for us, Jeff.
Well, I mean, I think that what you're seeing Kerry do and other folks in the administration, you know, the spokesman for the president, is exactly right. Build the case that the U.S. needs to get involved and intervene in Syria. Not necessarily, you know, in terms of, you know, sending in troops maybe on the ground and doing sort of an Iraq-type mission where you're there, you know, occupying a country and for, there for many years and setting up bases. But I think, you know, something similar to what we saw the U.S. do to stop Muammar Gaddafi a couple years ago in Libya. We don't know exactly. We know this at this point. Let me just sort of back up here. We know that there is broad consensus in the administration that something needs to be done now, that the U.S. needs to get involved, especially after what happened last Wednesday, where we're almost certain that chemical weapons were used. And almost certain that they were used by the Assad regime on the opposition. And that, for over a year now, has been the red line for President Obama. So obviously there's a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, heads turning his way and asking when he is going to commit to this and get the U.S. involved beyond a financial aid situation, you know, something more substantive than that. And I think that you could be seeing something within the next week or two. We learned today from the spokesman for the president that Obama will speak publicly about, you know, Syria in the coming days. You know, what Kerry said today is that it was undeniable that, that chemical weapons were used and that it, he called it an obesity. And so, you know, you're also seeing that the president is making calls to allies across the world. He, you know, phoned President Hollande in France over the weekend. He just got off the phone earlier tonight with the Prime Minister of Australia. So I think what he's doing is quietly building an international consensus and coalition of partners to get involved. And so it's not just the U.S., but it's an international, you know, alliance that's going in there. And what exactly we're going to do remains to be seen. You know, there's the Pentagon has said that they have a range of options that they've been studying and debating. The president's been getting tips from his national security team in terms of what his options are. So we're not exactly sure, but, you know, it could be that we put a no-fly zone in there. It could be that there is a, you know, a slight ground presence, more sort of like special ops and, you know, CIA and that sort of thing. But something is going to happen.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking about, that's what I was talking about on the previous show, black ops, drones, you know, what would ultimately the play be? So you feel like this is, we're running it up the flagpole, and this has to be the talk. I mean, I said it is a talk across the land, so obviously it's the talk in D.C., and we know that some Congress folks have already sounded off about it, but they're on break. When they come back, do you imagine that there'd be any, you know, there would be even more push from Congress? What do you get a sense of as far as Democrats and Republicans?
Well, I think the timing of this whole thing is really interesting because, you know, Congress doesn't come back for another 2 weeks. It's entirely possible that the president decides to act without Congress's approval. And there are some folks in Congress who say they wouldn't mind. Elliot Engel, for instance, he's the top Democrat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, said today that it's better that the president acts sooner than later. Then again, you have some Republicans. Scott Rigel, who's from Virginia, my state, says that he wants the president to consult with Congress before he does anything. Rigel says that it would be unconstitutional for the president not to do that. Now, so, you know, it's entirely possible the president could pull the trigger on an operation before Congress comes back into session and has a chance to vote. You know, what the White House is saying, Kate, is that the president and his chief of staff and other White House aides have been engaged in discussions with lawmakers in Congress on both sides So I think the White House is sort of getting out in front of any, you know, accusations that Congress wasn't consulted by saying, look, we're having talks with members of Congress. You know, they might not have voted on anything, but I think that subtly the White House's message is they were informed and they will have been informed if and when we do something.
Yeah. The, you know, and over the weekend, is it's true, right, Secretary of State, just basically all anybody connected to what would be a situation where we would make some kind of a strike, they were all summoned to the White House. So there has been conversation with the president in a huddle, so to speak, and I'll just call it a war room. Who knows if it was there, but there was that, right, over the weekend?
Yeah, the president met with his national security team, including some cabinet-level officers on Saturday. And remember, he was, you know, he was on the road Thursday and Friday, but he was getting briefed over the phone because the chemical weapons attack in Syria occurred on Wednesday. And then Saturday he had the meeting. Today he spoke by phone with more advisors. So the president obviously has been very deliberate about this, and some people think that that's a good thing. Some people think that's a bad thing. There are folks in Congress who think that the president should have acted already. And, you know, that, as soon as things appear to be getting out of hand in Syria, the U.S. should have intervened. But then there are others who say the president was right to wait. He was right to be deliberate about it. And I personally give the White House a little bit of credit on this one because, you know, the president came into office back in 2008 campaigning against the Iraq War. He said he didn't want to do anything like that, especially where all the facts weren't verified. And I think in this case, he is waiting to make sure that we get verification that chemical weapons, A, were used, and B, were used by the Assad regime. I think it would be a complete mistake. At the very least, I think it would be, you know, reneging on a campaign promise for the president to rush into something militarily in Syria before all the facts are unearthed. So I give him a little credit for that. And also, I don't know if the president really pays attention to the polls or not. The White House says he doesn't, and he's more concerned about the national security interests of the country. That's fine. But the polls, most of them show a majority of the country not necessarily enthusiastic about getting involved in Syria. Now, I think a lot of people, you know, when they're asked, they immediately think, are we going to send ground troops into Syria? And, of course, we're living in a war-weary country. And most people would definitely oppose, you know, getting bogged down in another affair. But, you know, I think even, you know, just committing military resources Syria and getting possibly in the middle of what is, you know, what is defined by some folks as largely just a sectarian war is viewed as a mistake by some people. So the president, if he doesn't decide to act militarily, Kate, you know, he has some cover with the polls. He can always say, well, you know, the majority of the country didn't think we should anyway. But I personally think that he will do something. And one other thing just to mention, the Navy usually has two destroyer ships in the Mediterranean. They now have four ships over there. So we have double our Navy presence in the area near Syria. So, you know, I think something's in the works.
Yep. So, we seems as though we always say this, but we'll play the waiting game, see what happens. As you mentioned, we still have a couple of weeks before Congress gets back, see what happens in the next couple of days. It'll be interesting to actually monitor this from the point of view of the White House and what ultimately ends up being the big play here. Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, look forward to it, Kate. See ya.
Thanks, Jeff. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Two, three.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking. Ooh-hoo. Ooh-hoo. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
If there is any action taken, it will be in concert with the international community and within the framework of legal justification. We're working with our allies and with the international community. We are analyzing the intelligence.
So lots of questions still surrounding Syria as we just had that chat with Jeff Holtzman. I mentioned there you can throw in your two cents. The president, is he going to wait to see what happens with the UN or does he strike first as far as Syria is concerned? And you heard Jeff and I going back and forth. That's why it's the waiting game again, because does he ultimately wait? A lot has been said from several Congress folks that they don't appreciate the idea that anything would move forward without their say-so. And you just heard Chuck Hagel, the Secretary of Defense, throwing in on what the legal justification would be and our friends in the international community. So we know chemical weapons, everybody is saying, let's forget that, let's throw it out the window. Definitely chemical weapons. We're not even debating chemical weapons. And it is a matter of time, because if the longer that this goes on and festers and festers and festers, the less of a chance you have, let's face it, of really, really nailing Assad without some things leaking out. So you have the inspectors on the ground entering supposed gas attack sites in Syria. And you have Doctors Without Borders confirming everything they knew about the neurological damage. And that's good enough for, I think, anybody leading any of the other countries discussing possibly striking, like, France or England or anyone else that may be involved in this, that that's good enough, because the inspectors were really struggling as to where they use the chemical weapons. While all of the calls for dumping in more humanitarian aid, they're crying out for it now at this point. And as you know, we talked to somebody just the other day from Talk Radio News who had gone in across the border and said it was horrific how many people were trying to get out of Syria and get into Turkey to get away from what was happening there, scared to death that they were going to face chemical weapons and just be annihilated. So the UN's Office of the Coordinator of Humanitarian Affairs says that they've gotten $603 million toward a $1.41 billion appeal, because that's the net they're casting for money, for the 4 million Syrians who have been displaced. And that's what Zach Badorf, who I just mentioned, that's what he told us last week, that he couldn't believe how many faces, how many people that he was seeing. Of course, they're displaced. What kind of money do you think they're carrying around? And all of this violence has ripped apart Syria, but we know that. This has been going on for 2 years. 2 years. So, $1.41 billion is what they want now. The money is used for supplies, assistance, and they try to hand it out however they can, just getting to as many people as possible. Of course, it's pretty tough because you have some areas that are rebel-held areas, which would be easier, and you have other areas that are a little bit slippier to get into, and then you've got to try to communicate and try to get the relief in there. That's how the UN programs work. In fact, it's called SARC, Syrian Arab Red Crescent. And that's a regime-sanctioned agency, which they implement the relief programs. So they've got close ties with the government, which that could be a little sticky too, right? SARC. Independent branches all over Syria. So the bottom line is they need stuff, because people are displaced, have no money. They're basically roaming around in tent cities that aren't even great tent cities, trying to get out of Syria, scared out of their minds that they're going to be gassed, that they're going to be hit with the chemical weapons, which is that red line we keep talking about. We've hit the red line. We're there. So we got to move the needle in one direction. Either we're going in or we're out of this thing. And I say we're going to go in, but the problem is we got to decide on the dance we're going to do, and we have to do it now. The longer we wait, the more they prepare, the more it's ineffective. Because obviously they're very aware of what's happening here. So you have people deprived of livelihoods, injured, kids, desperation. The United Nations is the place to go. The United Nations is where the money is being dumped to get the supplies. But can they get the people the access to the stuff they need? And also, you have neighbors like Lebanon and Jordan and Iraq and Turkey that are delivering stuff to in those Syrian conflict zones, and apparently they're not necessarily having any problems with that. So there's a little bit of a sticky point here. How do you get it in? How do you get these convoys crossing into combat areas and reaching the almost 2 million people in government-controlled, contested areas? They're the ones who need it. We got to figure out a way to get them there. Because Damascus is really where the Assad regime is. So anything around and near Damascus is going to be very, very tricky. And the Syrian government won't allow humanitarian aid to reach all the people in its territory. It's been a big issue since the very beginning, since the violence really kicked into high gear. remember, if you go back to 2002, you had former UN Secretary Kofi Annan with a group of foreign ministers who said, we're doing a peace deal here and we're trying to get into Syria. And they said that the Assad government has to allow full humanitarian access to humanitarian organizations to all the people that are affected, because there's a lot of groups that want to get in here and help. But it didn't work. It failed. Annan resigned as the special envoy guy. His successor didn't do very well either, because you have to go through Assad and trying to coordinate the all the aid, all the packages, all the things that were coming in was increasingly impossible. It's like a war extermination, as somebody told me today. So if you're trying to exterminate people, you're not trying to get them aid. So virtually, the ambassador of the former ambassador to the UN from the U.S., John Bolton, said virtually all UN assistance is provided directly to government ministries or programs, and they can do what they want with it. And nobody's challenged that approach. And that's what happens typically with anybody who gets aid. But that's a flawed model if you have someone like Bashar Assad who's killing his people, and you're handing him millions of dollars of aid, whatever it is, equipment, supplies, band-aids, all the kind of things you would need, and it's up to him and his people as to who's going to get what. Of course it's flawed. So does that make you want to see the aid increase if you know that so many of the targeted people aren't getting it, but they're having more success, as I mentioned, in Jordan and some of those other places? So I'd say we have a real problem here with what the Syrians will do. Is the relief coalition going to be able to get a bigger outreach in that country? I mean, it's a very strange paradox there. And what are they, you know, got to figure, what are they taking for themselves? What are they taking for themselves? So you have a country the size of Syria, 15 million people, give or take, over the age of 14. 15 million people. And how much would it cost to take care of these 15 million people? That's why the amount of aid from the UN, they're talking about how sizable it has to be. All right, if you want to roll through with us, ultimately, does the president do something quickly in the next day or two, or does he wait, hang in the weeds, hang in the weeds, hang in the weeds? Because I think you got to either put up or shut up, whether I agree or not. Either you jump in or you jump out of this thing. 855-266-5283. Meet you in a few.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
All right, where are you, everybody? Wake up. I know some of you are on the road. Got a couple of emails telling me where you were headed. You know, there's an app for that now. I'm going to think of the name of it. It's not just a GPS thing. There's a special app where if I tell you, hey, you live 15 minutes away, I'm coming over, I'm coming over, we'll go to lunch, or I'll take care of your dog, or I'll see how great you mowed the lawn, or for whatever reason, you can actually chart my progress where it says, okay, 7 minutes, 7 minutes away, 5 minutes away, going 70 miles an hour. I think it's the coolest thing. Someone did it to me the other day. So you never know what you're going to get when you tune into America Tonight. Syria is really the big play. And, of course, because you see the bodies wrapped up, you hear about the chemical weapons. And this is your tax dollars at work. Put the people thing aside for a second because we step in, what to the tune of what are we stepping in? There is no way there that there's a escalated, I think, blow-up war here. We won't tolerate it. Will we tolerate boots on the ground? I'm going to say no. There is no way. And that's not the way we wager war now because of the drones, even though so many people hate the drones. We're in the drone era, baby. Especially when it comes to other countries. So drones, black ops, there are many other options here. But boots on the ground, I think Americans would go ape on this. Even seeing the wrapped up bodies, hearing the story about the kids, listening to the camps, about the camps and how horrific it is and all of that, I do not believe it. And plus, is this really the right play? And the answer is no, it's not the right play. The scary thing would be is Assad is a murderous thug, doesn't care. He's blowing people away through houses, from what I hear, cutting people's heads off, hanging them upside down, chemical weapons. So this is just the latest in the heinous things that he's doing. It's his country. It's a country that, when I say it's his country, that he's running. No one's picked him off. And he's squashing people that he wants to squash and annihilating them. So escalating and pushing troops in there doesn't do anything but ignite a fire underneath them, I think. Which could be the same thing, too, with missile strikes and whatnot. But sitting back is not going to be an option. I know it. So it's pretty apparent that what happens is ultimately it's going to be some missile lobbing that's going to happen. And beyond that, lots of humanitarian aid. But you heard my whole diatribe on that. Getting through the regime, getting the materials in. Not so easy with those convoys. Because, hey, not for nothing, they do have an advantage knowing the terrain and having some pretty good snipers that can shoot, take aim, and take more of our guys out if we're on the ground and we're in these convoys. A lot of you shared your thoughts in the mailbag. We'll do that in the second hour if you stick around for that. 855-266-5283. Or you can shoot me an email, too. It's never too late. AmericaTonight.net. It's that easy. Click on contact, and you're in. Boom. Just like that. All right, I've talked about this, too, on the show. Yosemite. National parks and the role that national parks play in so many people's lives. Huge. I mean, did you go camping when you were young? Was there a park near you? Was there campgrounds? Where was it? If you're a Californian, certainly, if you live near Yosemite, you definitely ventured there. But Yosemite, they got about 4 million people a year that come from all over the globe. A lot of you listening to me on Turquoise Radio in the great UK. Many of you Brits come over here. You do. You come over to Yosemite. I lived in California briefly. I remember a lot of people making their way to Northern California to check out Yosemite. And why not? The waterfalls, the landscapes. It's just incredible. So now this rim fire, to put it in perspective, it's been described as large as Chicago. That they're trying to do whatever they can to protect everything they can, meaning houses, of course, people. The rim fire now has scorched over 160,000 acres. 3,600 firemen are on top of this thing trying to rein it in. Ugh. Paradise is getting trashed. Very scary. And scary to me is people keep talking about, because here's the thing about Yosemite. It is a key to San Francisco's water and power sources. Meaning almost 3 million people are getting power from the Yosemite lines in there. And it's going down. So if it continues to do what it's doing, and they're trying to protect the supply, but not so that it costs some firemen their lives. That's the worry. It could threaten. It's the Hetchy Reservoir, which is within Yosemite, and it's close to where the fire is now. The hydroelectric generators are what actually provide that power, that electricity, to San Francisco. So what do? With the flames coming closer, they shut down the generators. And temporarily, they're getting power from someplace else. There's big concern over the reservoir. And the terrain is rough. It's rocky. So maybe the terrain stops the fire. Maybe that happens. It doesn't go any further into Yosemite, but it's too bad. I hope it does stop. Because it's just a piece of Americana. It is. It's like the Statue of Liberty burning down. you got to put it in that perspective. What does Yosemite mean? What kind of a landmark is it? It's a different kind of landmark than Lady Liberty. Okay, I'll grant you that, but just as important in a much different way. And only minimal homes have been destroyed. Still, not to the people where the homes have been eaten by the fire, but a dozen homes. So are people staying away? Labor Day is a huge, huge weekend. Normally in Yosemite, iffy at best this time around. Even though it's really on the other side of Yosemite, it's still a lot of people are staying away from the area completely for fear of, one, being in the way, but two, why be there? And this is the other thing you got to think about. How we keep talking about these black bears, and now more people reporting this to the park rangers. Well, black bears are going to be chased out. The animals are going to be chased out of where they are because of the fire. So now the firemen have to worry about animals coming out. They have to worry about people that don't evacuate when the fire is close. They have to worry about themselves taking cover because of the wind switching the fire around. And they have to worry about the power in San Francisco and trying to keep the fire away from what could be disastrous for that city. So a whole lot goes into this. Always more than meets the eye when you see any kind of a fire, especially in a national park, somewhere where there's a lot of trees. And, you know, this is the problem, as what's been explained to me. Controlled burns. They need to do controlled burns to try to burn off some of what they call the fuel that the decades of it that has led to what we're now seeing. Unless it's somebody starting something by something stupid. But because they've suppressed it for decades, it's led to these catastrophic fires in so many of these areas where it would be just minimal damage, because this is the ecosystem. This is what happens, controlled burns. I mean, this is what was working. So we have these large wildfires in the United States, and it's the years of fire suppression and the expansion of so many humans into the ecosystems that has made the difference. And it is a tough question for the people in the game, because it doesn't make sense to some people. Wait a second, why don't you have these controlled burns? What is that doing? Why are we doing that? So some of these homes where they thought they were safe and they were in these incredible areas are now not safe. Natural disaster, more of a cost pinned to this. Tough, tough situation with the fires. And for that many firemen, I hear they're just exhausted. That rim fire, it's like it cannot be stopped. It's crazy. So the top thing that they have to do, stop the fire from spreading. It's obvious in Yosemite that's what they're trying to do. Protect all the people and the power and the houses and everything else. But stop the fire. End the insanity now. And even with helicopters and planes, it just shows you how difficult it is. The wind whips up, the fire line, everything else changes. Almost instantaneously. All right, if you're in the Midwest, are you on fire? Are you burning up? Boo-hoo! For the rest of us that live in heat-filled areas, we've been dealing with it for a long time, you big babies. We're talking about it next.
Hi. time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo. And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war, it's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine. Has a 100-year shelf life and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
And boy, can I tell, poor Matt Johnson, the glue of the show, he's become unglued. He's so exhausted. I don't know, we're going to have to prop him up to be able to get through. I think that the heat in Minnesota has just sucked away all the juices of Matt. Because you know how it does that? The heat drains you, and when you're not used to the heat and you throw in some other things, it's deadly. And this heat wave is crazy in Iowa, 110 degrees Monday afternoon. They're telling people stay indoors. Heat-related illness, stay indoors. Don't even bother coming out. Even some school districts changed their schedules and canceled after-school stuff because they've just, some of them have just rocked into a new year. Eight states affected. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska. I know you're all listening to us there. Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa. I mentioned Minnesota already, and Missouri. All our great listeners in Missouri are feeling this with these temperatures, and it's pretty tough stuff. Matt, are you surviving? Are you okay? I told them to go get you a wet rag.
It's very thankful that I have AC in my place, because yesterday would have been so brutal for me.
If you didn't have AC?
Oh, no. It was pretty awful. Like, it's been upper 90s for the last 2 or 3 days, high humidity, and it's been just miserable, to be honest with you, miserable.
Yeah. And that's what people are saying. They're dripping. I mean, it's just what it is. It's a human function that people are just dripping at work.
This is also coming off of weather. About 2 weeks ago, it was, you know, low 70s, high 60s. So people were starting to put away all of their summer gear because summer was over here. But now it's back.
Yeah. Pretty soon, I mean, the whole idea of saying it's above average, it's below average, it's just going to be the norm, because we've seen weird flips. And, you know, one thing when you live in the Southwest or you move to the South where you have certain heat patterns, people will say, well, it's a dry heat. And I'll tell you one thing, because I kind of grew up in a humid area. When you talk about 80% humidity and it's 95, or I've been in places where it's practically 100% humidity and it's like 100, forget it. Forget the whole let's compare who is suffering more and whine about it. Forget it. The challenge is off. So for any of you in the Midwest who are suffering through this heat wave, what are you doing to keep cool besides blasting your air conditioning? If you have any tips to pass on, call us, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. You know, the thing that you got to just pump yourself with water. I mean, you got to stay hydrated, hydrated, hydrated. Forget coffee and all the other stuff if you can, and that's what you do, because it's the best option, frankly. The best thing to do is just drink gallons and gallons of water, because it saturates you. And I think there's a difference. I used to think that was nonsense when people would say it. Oh, great, so I'll have a glass of water. But when you really drink a lot of it, you do feel more comfortable. But it has to be before you go out. So it's like when you go to do something athletic. If you hydrate yourself before you go out to run or do frisbee or throw a football or do whatever it is you're going to do, you're going to feel better, because it's saturated your skin, and you're going to be able to have a better chance to stand the weather. I bet a lot of games have been canceled. Kids back to school, soccer games and Little League and all that stuff, because I think really for some it's just unbearable. When you're talking about 20 degrees, 25 degrees, more than usual in a, you know, you're not expecting that. So schools changing it because they don't have air conditioning. They just don't. Like North Dakota. Think of Fargo, North Dakota. We have some fabulous listeners in Fargo, North Dakota. They always send some great notes. And I feel you, because how many people in Fargo, North Dakota really are big on air conditioning? I'm going to say not very many. Because you really don't have to worry about it. Usually the temperatures in Fargo, even summertime-ish and stuff, you're not dealing with crazy, crazy humidity and temperatures that are, you know, 95, 98, that kind of stuff. So there you would close schools. I think there was I read a quote from a superintendent of one of the Fargo public schools who said one of the buildings at 6 o'clock in the morning, the temperature was already close to like 85 degrees. So kindergarten through fifth grade, yay, no school. It's like a snow day. And it's hard to get a snow day in Fargo, North Dakota, because people know how to deal with snow. So now an unexpected twist of fate, when the little ones lay in bed at night thinking, oh, I have to go to school on Monday, it's the dreaded Sundays, then they woke up and realized, I don't have to go to school today. How cool is that? Right?
be nice to have your first day of school, and then you get to go to the water park or the pool or the lake or something.
Yeah, I'd love it. I'm serious.
Extended day of summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because no, I don't care even if kids like school. I mean, maybe that's our problem. We learn that at a young age. You start to, you get to Sunday night, and you start looking at the clock, and you don't. You're thinking, oh, I don't want to. You know, Monday, the Monday blues. And, you know, there's even that song, I Don't Like Mondays, and the idea that you, you know, the idea that you could have this day off, it's like a gift out of nowhere, because normally there's just no way, there's nothing that you can think of other than, you know, maybe a tornado in some of those spots. But this isn't typically when you would see that. Of course, what's typical anymore? So if you're suffering through that, let's hear from you. I want to hear your stories. Just how hot is hot for you? How hot did it get in your little corner of the world? 855-266-5283. I'll tell you how hot is hot. My nephew came to visit me over the summer, and, you know, he weighs 10 pounds. He's thin kid, tall, little, starting to get tall, little 12 years old. And what did 12-year-old boys like? Oh, like Slim Jims and all kinds of Doritos and nonsense like that. So he had gotten a couple boxes of Junior Mints, and he said he figured that I'd take him to the movies, and he said, I think you like Junior Mints, so I got a bunch at the store. So he goes to pull out to give me the Junior Mints. I've never seen this. This is a good heat story. And he hands me the Junior Mints. I should find that picture and post it on the website. And it's just a block. It's a thick block of chocolate gooey stuff. I mean, it's solid. It had melted just into a block. And you know how Junior Mints are. They're little, they're mints, you know. They're dark, chocolatey on the outside mints. And it had mysteriously become just a block of solid mint. It was strange. Let me tell you, it was strange to see it. And of all the things I've seen over the years, which I have seen in Dallas, Texas, that it was so hot, you know, that whole thing about, oh, you could fry an egg on the street. I saw someone do that. Boom. Just throw the egg out. You could see it sizzling. And, of course, you see the heat vapors. So some of you that aren't used to seeing those kinds of sights might be seeing that now in places where normally you'd be thinking about starting to get cool. I got to have my sweaters ready. I have chunked away anything summer-related. A few little short-sleeve things, and that's it. And, you know, here's the bad news. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's going to continue through the next couple of days. They're expecting this in the Midwest. So through the week, temperatures that are not normally what you would see in the 90s, maybe even 100, and in some places it'll feel like it. They have that thing called the heat index, and it might feel like 110 degrees. So one thing you can do at your house, if you have those fantastic bright lights, dim the lights. Close the blinds. Use your fans. I got it down.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.